Hey guys, this is Armand. Today's February 2nd, 2018. Hope everyone's doing well. I just got back with my team from the D10E conference in Grand Cayman. It's a decentralization cryptocurrency blockchain event that actually tours around to a number of cities. So we're actually looking at some of their upcoming events as well. San Francisco, I believe, is mid-February, and then they have one in Seoul, Korea, in early March. So we've got our eye on those. It's really a great group at the conference. These are some of the leaders in the blockchain and crypto space that have founded some of the top companies that we know of in the space, like Block One, EOS, Tether, and others. And they have essentially a consortium of investors, advisors, technologists, and essentially blockchain decentralization experts that have been early adopters in the space, early investors, and again, proponents and managers of some of the biggest companies in the space. So I'll talk about some of those folks as we get into it today. This show, it seems to be turning entirely into a cryptocurrency blockchain theme, one large theme. And it's the reason why we're spending so much time and energy on it is because, you know, the concept in the area of cryptocurrency is really the perfect cross-section of so many different vital things. Like there's a political segment, there's obviously technology, finance involved, there's kind of a social component, very strong social component that ties into the internet and just people's day-to-day life and use of money, use of their currency. So I think it's relevant for everybody, even though there's still, if you look at it worldwide, there's obviously a lot more media coverage, a lot more discussion, a lot more general awareness of what Bitcoin is, what different cryptocurrencies are, how they work. There's still not as much of an adoption rate as of yet. I think that's happening. 2018 is the year of adoption, of mass adoption for cryptocurrencies, but I believe the latest statistics that I've seen, which also resonate with what I experience in my personal, you know, day-to-day life here around New Jersey and New York, we're still looking at under 2% of actual adoption globally and investment in cryptocurrencies. So there's a huge segment of the market, of the population, that's still not in yet. If you're not, I strongly encourage you to. The last episode we had was January 18th, I believe, so about 2 weeks ago. And I left a challenge on that day to not only get on board and get into by opening an account on Coinbase or some other way to get in. There's only a few options, unfortunately, in the US right now. I believe very soon there'll be more. But also to see about some type of real-world utility, paying for something in Bitcoin or one of the other coins. Ethereum is pretty much the second most popular form of currency, and I know that, you know, for me and several of the businesses that I'm involved with actually have accounts and are actually starting to pay vendors in Ethereum and or Bitcoin. So that's my real-world use case. What's yours? It's going to be some type of exchange, some type of transaction or payment, essentially. And the cool thing is that the different tokens here, coins and tokens almost being synonymous words, are generally have some utility within the particular ecosystem. So, for example, SALT lending is one of the popular financial, new type of financial cryptocurrencies that focuses on just what it says, on lending by using your cryptocurrency portfolio as collateral. Against that collateral, let's say you have $10,000 in Bitcoin on some wallet, you can take a $5,000 to $8,000 loan using that $10,000 in crypto as your collateral. So you don't have to actually cash it out if you'd rather see it in the market, hopefully gaining value, unlike the current moment where we're in our quote-unquote second correction here, exactly 2 weeks after, a little over 2 weeks after the first correction. So yeah, there's a lot of, as I say, FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt going on. And after such a huge bull run over the previous 12 months, 18 months, even 2 years, it's only natural and normal and actually healthy, although it might not feel like a lot of fun for those of us who are invested in the market. This is natural and it's normal, and it's something that if you want to invest your money in any market, whether it was the traditional stock market or foreign exchange or this, cryptocurrencies, you have to be ready to stomach some of these ups and downs, and as they say, and as we say in the field, hodl or hold your positions as best as you can, assuming you still believe in those positions. Personally, I don't see anything wrong with moving positions, changing positions. What I tend to do during these correction cycles is to just kind of consolidate a little bit. And if I'm speculating or investing in a diversification of, let's say, 30 coins or so, which is actually about the size of my portfolio personally, when things get a little tight, I like to consolidate and maybe trim some of the more speculative, smaller, more startup-natured coins, unless I have a strong kind of connection or really belief in that company in the long term, which technically you always should, I believe. If you're investing in something, in anything, it should be based on not quick short-term action and gains, but a real belief in the team, the product, and the vision of the particular company underlying the coin or currency that you're investing in. That's my strategy, and that's my non-professional, non-financial advisor thoughts, let's just say, not advice. I'm not an advisor, and I'm not advising any specific coins here. I'm just sharing with you what my experience is. So let's go back to this conference and just the concept of that underlies decentralization, the philosophy of disintermediation, of blockchain, cryptocurrency overall. It goes back a long way. It goes back a very long way. And I think we've seen throughout time, throughout all of human history, this kind of these different struggles, whether they manifest in terms of economic systems like socialism versus capitalism, or authoritarianism and centralization of governments and power, kingdoms versus decentralized power and democracies. And even if you look in the United States, we have federal power and then we have state and local power. And I believe there's a lot of intelligence embedded into our system in terms of the way states and local cities have their own power structures that don't necessarily yield completely to federal authority on all fronts. On some fronts they do have to, but on other fronts what goes in one state is completely different. Let's say whether it's marriage laws or laws regarding education and immigration even. You know, we have state by state differentiation. So we have kind of a localization and a decentralization of sorts there, and that concept can go down to a city-specific level as well. I believe there's a lot of intelligence in that. Now, you may get a lot of diversity and not everyone seeing eye to eye, and then that allows people to choose where they want to be, you know, to have more affinity to the states that or the cities that resonate with their own values. And I believe that's one of the great strengths of decentralization, as is control against the abuse of power that happens in centralized systems, that often happens. As they say, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. That saying has gone back a long time to the days of monarchies, and it still holds very true today. And this whole movement really is epitomized by, you know, the open source technology movement, where again, code and code control and products aren't necessarily centralized in one location under the control of one small board of people, and particularly in some cases one person. So I think the whole concept as far as how currencies and companies and organizations are organized, and the way people want to exchange value on a peer-to-peer direct level without intermediaries and these centralized authorities is a concept that at heart makes sense to me, and I know it makes sense to a lot of people, and that certainly made sense to the people underlying this entire movement. Being at this conference, I think, validated that. It's really the first time I've actually gone to a specific blockchain conference. We have several more in the calendar coming up. We do have, in full disclosure, our own cryptocurrency coin that's called KidCoin that we're going to be unveiling. And we've already unveiled, having been at this show in Cayman Islands, on stage, pitching it, speaking about it, meeting with investors about it. And as of yesterday, February 1st, we actually opened up our whitelist for it, which means it's available and open to applicants that are interested in joining our community by joining the whitelist, by signing on to our Telegram channel and other social networks that we're participating in to basically spread our message. So, you know, I don't want to make the show here, you know, a whole pitch on KidCoin, but I will be referencing it quite often in the weeks to come, as it's our first experience being part of and really driving an ICO or an initial coin offering. As we've talked about in recent episodes, it's this new, very new and innovative form of crowdfunding that has really taken off. It existed back in 2013-14, but really took off slightly in 2016, and then just like a rocket ship in 2017, billions of dollars having been raised through ICOs, and now on a month-by-month basis, those numbers continue to look good. They've cooled a little bit over the last month, given the hit, or the now two times hit, of corrections that we've had. But again, big picture-wise, it's a very new, innovative way to raise capital for generally startups and blockchain tech companies that really kind of live and innovate in this space. So there's a few takebacks from the show. Let me actually quickly go through the site so you guys can see if anyone's interested in looking into D10E, participating in any of these conferences. You can see I have up on my screen here the next one. In Silicon Valley, which I'm strongly inclined to make sure at least one of our 5 to 6 management and advisory team members participates in. And then you could see some of the speakers here. Like, these are, again, the same gang that was in Grand Cayman. So, you know, Brock Pierce, you see, co-founder and managing partner of Blockchain Capital. Mike Kostash, these guys are really the organizers of the conference, and they've been involved again in a number of successful blockchain companies. Naomi Brockwell, she did a great job of really emceeing the event in Grand Cayman, so I imagine that's going to be her role at all the conferences that she's part of. Brad Yasser, I got to meet him and spend some time with him as well. We're actually talking to their company Crowd Mentor about possibly joining forces with KidCoin, being part of our advisory and service team. This guy, David Orban, he's a venture capital investor in the space. He gave a great talk. I would really liken him to the type of talks that one of my mentors, David Hull, and our advisors in KidCoin gives. You know, very broad thinking, futurist type of state of the world and vision for trends towards the future. David gave a good, really good talk along those lines. And some of these other folks listed here actually weren't at weren't in Grand Cayman. Craig was there. Craig Sellers, very highly accomplished, one of the partners at Block One, which is part of EOS, one of the more popular top 10, I believe, cryptocurrencies, as well as founder of Tether, which is, you know, somewhat, it's slightly, I guess, controversial. A cryptocurrency, as it's tied or tethered to the U.S. dollar, and they're in a little bit of hot water right now. But hopefully they'll be clear of that. Hey, look, I mean, the SEC and different regulatory bodies and governments worldwide I don't think cracking down is the right word. I would say they're cautious and they're watching things. They're watching the markets and they're watching what these companies are doing and trying to figure out how to regulate, how to do their job, and trying to realize or come to a conclusion about whether what these companies are doing is even under their jurisdiction to be evaluating and to be regulating, in essence. So this is a new model, it's a new world, and sometimes old world thinking and structures and the current establishments and governments and regulatory bodies we have aren't really a proper fit to oversee an entirely new way of doing business, an entirely new way of transacting. But of course, again, the centralized groups, the banks, the governments, the tax authorities want to make sure that they get their hands in the game. So I think, yes, I would say I take a balanced point of view. I think in part, for sure, there's consumer protection. We want to make sure people aren't stealing money or making false claims just to get people excited, like this Wild West cowboy vibe and mentality that's going on. And the euphoria that's following it is getting a lot of people investing in things that they don't fully understand, which is dangerous, which is risky, which is like pyramid schemes and all types of things where the masses swoon based on illusions. So I think there's, from a personal standpoint and, you know, how I'm trying to just address people and just feel about it in myself is to take a grounded approach, to do one's research, to realize there's risks involved at every level of this. So again, we're launching a company in this space that's also going to be making promises, you know, to our customers. We plan to grow a community of families, because essentially our platform and KidCoin is geared towards financial literacy and educating young children from as early an age as possible on the values related to money and things that they have and things that they want, things that they need, and then how to go about acquiring those things, you know, with the help of their parents, with their allowances, with trading things they might have that they may want to exchange for other things. So we plan to tokenize, you know, as is one of the keywords in the space, different things that kids have, down to their toys and different possessions, and allow them to hopefully better value those things and understand that to acquire more things costs money, that requires their parents to work or even them to work or at least behave to a certain standard, going to school, getting good grades, you know, the general things that are subtle, sometimes unsaid agreements between parents and kids. We're planning to organize that through our products, through our apps. And so we're making promises to the market, and our coin will be circulating through the economy as something that parents and kids, and then eventually young independent teenagers moving towards college, become more financially independent, self-sufficient, and confident because they've been using these tools from a younger age. So it's a very highly gamified platform and something where, as our economy grows, the value of everything, including the kid coins, has a chance to be a more stable currency, if you will. So everyone who's in the space has a story of that type of nature, and some of them are executing it very well right now. I would say about probably 90% of the companies in the space are still in the early stages of their promise. They might have raised a lot of money, they might be getting a lot of PR, but the rubber hasn't quite met the road yet. And that's another thing I would say, 2018 being kind of the year of mass adoption. And I would say mass adoption, in my definition, would mean at the entry level, mass adoption would be like more than 10% of a population. That's not really the masses, but if we're at the 1, 2% now, I'd say once we reach 10 to 15%, let's say even in the US, some countries are already beyond that, right? So when we say 1%, for mass adoption or for current adoption, that's really worldwide. But certain economies or countries like Japan and South Korea are way above that mark already, 10%. So I don't have the statistics per country. Maybe in one of the following shows for next week, I'll get those figures. But again, quickly back to D10E. I think it's a great group. Some of the people I highlighted there, looking forward to seeing them again. There's some conversations we're having, as I noted, about working with some of them, you know, on our project and on other projects. To that effect, the pitch competition was interesting. I participated. I was one of the presenters, and it was my first time really presenting KidCoin to the public audience, to the masses, room of about, you know, 100, 150 people. I'm comfortable, you know, getting on stage. I've done it, you know, quite a bit, but it's the first time I've done it for this, and I found it to be a great experience. I did run out of time in going through my pitch. I had slides prepared, and I was telling stories, and wasn't able to get through the full breadth of what I wanted to express, but I think I was able to most importantly convey the energy, the vision, the real passion behind the venture. And I think people feel that. And I think, I know a bunch of people spoke to me afterwards saying they were touched and moved and inspired by the talk, which is great, because it's about the kids. It's about families, you know, and family values, and being able to raise the next generation, as we say, of financially responsible young people. And we keep using this term, it takes a village. And I'll quickly just show you the landing page we have. We are in the middle of a rebranding process right now, but I do like what we're going with here in terms of blockchain-based family finances. You could see the counter there, which is very common, a countdown until the start of the ICO. And you can see the tagline we have. Again, we're in a rebranding moment, but I would say a 401 Kid, being the legacy brand that's going to be retired most likely. So I would say KidCoin facilitates multi-currency giving, saving, and spending amongst family, friends, sponsors, and trusted merchants, improving financial literacy from cradle to college. And then we have that little note in the bottom here, join us in raising the next generation of fiscally responsible citizens. It takes a village. So yeah, check it out when you can for KidCoin.com. or 401kid.io at the moment, and we're just embarking on our process. While we're here talking about ICOs and countdowns, I think it's a great segue to discuss this concept of ICO marketing, and it is really nothing new, and at the same time, a new kind of playing field, in a sense. And what I mean by that is nothing new when companies do IPOs or any company launches at any level. There's always a launch strategy, right? I mean, it's a new brand or a brand that's been there that now has a new moment, a new event. Let's say, again, IPO being a good reference point here, and something where you want to generate buzz, public interest. This is going to be a stock traded on the public markets. We need to let people know, we need to generate kind of demand, essentially, is the goal of these companies, so that obviously the goal is for the stock price and the value to go up, because there's so much interest in people participating in an IPO, you know, initial public offering. Very similar concept with the ICOs. I don't want to go into necessarily comparing differences, but I would say with these ICOs, it's obviously very time sensitive, and what companies are doing in general is having anywhere from a 30 to 90 day window in which people can buy in at different levels at different prices. So that kind of creates a bit of a demand, and again, some very specific either cutoff dates where after this date the price is going to go up, and even hard caps. Let's say, okay, we're going to open up on, let's say, March 1st, but we're only going to raise $2 million in the first round. Once we reach $2 million, we're going to close it. So, and I've seen this and myself participated several times here along with different friends and colleagues, where something opens up and within half a day, because there's so much demand, that pre-sale sells out. It reaches that $2 million or whatever that cap was, and everyone who wanted to get in at the best price, not everyone was able to. And if you didn't come in on time, or even if you did come in on time, it was so competitive that when you try to send your Ether or Bitcoin or whatever cryptocurrency they accept to buy in to the ICO or the pre-sale, is returned to you or refunded because you missed the cutoff. So that's obviously the goal, right? When it comes to ICO promotions and marketing, if that's what you're experiencing, that means you've done a good job. So a couple of them, I'll give a shout out to some of these guys. I've got no direct affiliation. I do have some colleagues and people that invested in some of these, but I don't have necessarily a direct personal interest or ownership. But WePower is one of them. I've talked about them before. You could see here on their homepage, 0 ETH left. And they're showing at the bottom here, look at this, their goal was $40 million, and they raised it. And they raised it fairly quickly. And it's the first one, or the main one of its kind, that's being promoted. It's blockchain-based green energy trading platform. So obviously very catchy kind of tag there. Their founder and team is very strong in the energy space and energy trading. Based mostly in Europe and Eastern Europe, so their plan and their grid is mostly European focused. But they did a really good job for about 60 to 90 days in driving demand by being on all these different platforms like ICO Bench and others, being rated. They were rated well, they did videos, and they're very active on these social channels. Again, the most popular social networks in this space being Telegram, and then Medium, or as like kind of a blog point for these companies, and then Steemit as well, Reddit, of course. I'm sure some of you may have heard the news, and if you didn't, Facebook announced a couple of days ago that they're banning ICO advertising, which I think is another very interesting topic, especially as we're discussing here now, really how to successfully market ICOs. It's a thought piece and an experience that that we're going through right now with KidCoin, and we're working with Blue Liner, our partner marketing agency, to really kind of drive that strategy. So I believe through this experience, Blue Liner, leveraging a 7 pillars of digital marketing framework, is going to knock it out of the park in terms of KidCoin's ICO marketing. And within that whole experience, I'm developing kind of a blog series, and we'll have some discussions here through the podcast and separately related to this overall topic of the 7 pillars of ICO marketing. So I'm very excited about that. I'm always excited when different concepts that I'm related to or I've had experience in start connecting and coming together. So all these years of digital marketing research and experience and campaigns and influencer marketing, social marketing, affiliate marketing, I've been involved in these things since the year of like 2000, even a little sooner. So really the advent, the whole evolution, and now they're all kind of coming together and coalescing here in this kind of space of cryptocurrency and ICO marketing. So I feel like we're very well prepared for it. But again, the rubber's yet to meet the road for us. It's just starting to happen. Whereas for these companies like WePower, they've pulled it off, at least to this stage. And now they have to use those funds, those $40 million, to build a viable business and continue to prove themselves in the actual marketplace. And whether they do or don't will determine whether they're able to raise more money when they need it or start actually making revenue. And that'll obviously impact, at some level, the price of their tokens and their coins, which I imagine will be tradable on some of the cryptocurrency exchanges. Let's look at one more, which I like, and it's very industry relevant. We talk about social marketing and influencer marketing, which is really all the buzz in the social media space, which is essentially having brand advocates or people that are, it could be celebrities or not, they just could be everyday folks that are very passionate about a certain field. It could be your pets, it could be fashion, whatever it may be, in your circle. you're well known for certain things. And so influencers at a micro level in just communities in general, all the way up to major celebrity level, you know, A-list influencers, are all sought after now by brands, by companies. And this one, AdHive, has the first AI-controlled influencer marketing platform, which will essentially allow things to be more of a peer-to-peer nature. So influencers could interact with brands, get hired, priced out, paid through this platform, AdHive. And they're right in the midst of their token sale right now. And you could see they list all their social platforms, ways you can connect to their white papers, their videos. And then you could see their ratings, how they've been rated by some of these different ICO rating companies. We're just about to go through this process as well with Kitcoin, and I'm very curious to see how truly objective, you know, these ratings companies are versus kind of more of a pay-to-play. Hey, if you pay us, we're going to give you an evaluation and kind of wink, wink, we'll give you a good rating if you pay us more, things of that nature. We'll see how clear and transparent that process is and how much it actually helps us in our process and in our program. But for AdHive, it certainly did help because they sold out very fast at the, I believe in this phase right now, or no, they finished the pre-sale. And that's one of the ones I was saying closed very quickly. So it didn't last till February 6th. It opened on Jan 30th and closed within a day. They reached their cap of 3 million. And now, as you can see, the price was one Ethereum for 5750 to 6500 ADH, which is the name of their token. And you could see the price goes up. So one Ethereum in phase one of the actual token sale or ICO will be, you'll get less. You'll only get 5,000 to 5750 ADH with one Ethereum. So there's less of a bonus. And then they haven't named the price yet for phase two, but I imagine it will be like 4,000 or something of that nature. So that's the way it's working. And there's different paths within that overall model, but you know, highlighting these two companies just because they're two that I've kept my eye on, and they're also fields that I'm personally interested in and I believe in, and I would encourage us all to explore more. I mean, if you're interested and concerned about the environment in any way, green energy trading sounds like a good area to invest in that could be both lucrative and at the same time help the environment, help countries, you know, and communities have cleaner air, cleaner water, things of that nature. So WePower is definitely one that I support on just kind of a personal and ethical level, an energetic level. And AdHive, because it's so connected to the industry that I've been involved in for a long time, and it's, you know, AI focused, it seems very cutting edge. I'm not sure exactly how good their tech is. Again, the rubber has to meet the road now that they've raised enough money to pursue their vision more actively. Let's see how they're able to do in terms of execution. Let's talk a little bit about the correction, the second market correction that we're about 2 days in the midst of, 2-3 days. So I'm going to pull up one of our favorite sites here, CoinMarketCap, and let's look at what's happening here. Bloodbath, as some people might call it. So again, how to just read this if you're newer to the market, as you could see in the top here, coinmarketcap.com, by the way, is the site. And they're listing a little over 1,500 cryptocurrencies. There doesn't mean that's all there are more than that, but these are the ones that they're choosing to list that they feel are serious enough or have been in the market long enough or have enough market cap. So I'm not sure exactly what their threshold or criteria is, but most of the major ones are listed up here, ones that are at least traded on exchanges. Let me see, that's an interesting point, because Loki is one that I own, LOCI, that isn't on an exchange yet, and therefore it's not showing here. But it's a serious company, and they've raised over $7 million and actually have a very cool set of products geared towards unlocking value and tokenizing patents so that patent holders can connect with people that might be interested in different patents that aren't necessarily being commercialized yet, and they can sell fractional shares in those innovations, or in those at least innovative patents that aren't necessarily commercialized yet. So I like it, I've invested in it personally, but it's not being listed here because they're not on an exchange yet and they're not giving a lot of information about that. So the criteria would be that the cryptocurrency has been not just issued, but is trading on one or more of the main exchanges. I also have a screen up here next to it, also on CoinMarketCap, where you can see the top exchanges by volume here, right? So number one is OKX, Upbit, Binance, which is my main preferred. Binance and Bittrex are the two that I use most, and I prefer Binance a bit more, and you can see the volume as well as the volume by different coins. But again, back to the correction discussion, you could see here for the last 7 days, over the last week, the percentages, which will all be red, pretty much mostly red, starting with Bitcoin and going all the way down. These are ranked and sorted now by market cap. You can also sort them by volume or whichever way you're interested in. You could see who's gained or lost the most over either the last hour, 24 hours, or 7 days. The overall market cap across all of these cryptocurrencies is about 400 billion right now. That'll be 400 billion. And that number was up almost double that before the first correction, right? So we were reaching 800 billion level, almost getting to that first trillion. Now at this conference, obviously a lot of bullish and industry inside people, but the talk was and the general prognosis was that the big money, you know, the hedge funds, the family offices, the institutional money, where really the big money is and which usually leads in terms of new markets and innovations, is about to come in very, very strong into this market. Some of them have already gotten in, but a lot haven't because the regulations and the securitization and just the mechanisms and the vehicles haven't been easy enough for them yet. But those bridges are being built as we speak. Do not be mistaken about that in any sense. And the talk is that as that 1% of global population rises up to 10 plus, and then this big segment of institutional money, family offices, high net worth investors come in, all that is happening this year in 2018. It's going to start to happen. And the talk is that this half a billion to almost a trillion market cap is going to be going up closer to in the 5 to 10 trillion range. So that means a general 5, 10x growth of the whole market. So exactly when and how that's going to happen, no one knows for 100% sure, but I believe in 2018 we're going to see this market cap go up to at least 1.5, if not 2 trillion by the end of the year. So we'll see if my prediction comes true. And again, what you predict one day, that's almost at 800. 2.5 weeks later is half of that. So things fluctuate. This will continue to be a volatile market. Again, you can go down the list here and you can see almost all red. Some of these, which are big ones, look, number 5 on the list, Cardano, down 40%. Bitcoin itself down over 20%. Ripple, you know, one of the talks of the town for a long time, down 30%. Stellar, down 37%. Some big, big numbers and drops. And then on rare occasion, you could see one like this one, Nano, actually holding its ground and increasing during that time. Populous, one I've had my eye on for some time and a good company. Again, if you want to learn more about these companies, you can come on over here and just click on the link. And then you can see their website. You could see the trend of growth. But then if you want to go in deeper, click on the website and learn about them. Certainly learn about them, read their white paper, see what their products are, see who their management is before you invest any of your own money. But these guys have been doing generally well just on a the level of their pattern, and through this general two-time correction over 2 weeks, they've held well. So I won't go through it much further except to say if you're in it, it's obviously not necessarily comfortable. You could either hold fast in your positions, or you can consolidate into a few of the coins that you believe have more strength to eventually bounce back. So for example, during the first correction, I moved a little bit more weight back into Bitcoin and Ethereum, because as the top two, kind of heavier weight, more somewhat reliable, in my eyes at least, cryptocurrencies, I felt they would be more secure bet to kind of come back, and they did. Now, some of the ones that were smaller also came back. Everything kind of came back after the first correction, not necessarily to its original level, but at least recovered a portion. So again, that's up to you individually, what you decide to do. If you're not in the market yet, heed this. February 2nd here, Bitcoin under $1,000, even under $9,000 at this point, Ethereum under $1,000, under even $900 at this point, I believe are very, very, very good buys. I'm not going to speak so much to anything else. I would say the one more I would highlight is NEO. NEO is like Ethereum. It's a platform-based cryptocurrency upon which other companies and other token builders are able to use the NEO technology the way most use Ethereum now to build their tokens and their token economies on top of. And it's one that I really like, because I think Ethereum needs, like any healthy market, needs some competitors, and NEO looks to be one of the top competitors, up-and-comers to Ethereum. And they've actually grown quite well. As you can see, they didn't lose too much, 15%, as opposed to some of the others. So I think NEO is a very strong play. I've held a good amount of it, and I believe it topped out at like 160, 175 before coming down to 115. I believe that's going to come back up and go well over 200, even closer to 300 over the next 60 days. I'm not a futurist in a sense of predicting this or guaranteeing it or even advising it, but this is my feeling. It's the reason that I'm holding a bit of NEO, whereas some of these others that I had, and even, again, I don't want to talk, you know, with such assurance and positivity about any of these. I could be wrong, but Litecoin, Stellar, NEM, IOTA, Dash, some of these top listed, you know, worth billions of dollars, these companies, but even Cardano, I've reduced my positions, let's say, in some of those, just because I've been watching them for a while, also reading up on the companies, their products, and just haven't been quite as thrilled as I am with NEO and Ethereum, which I'm bullish on. So if you're not in, or if you're in at a light level, I do believe it's a good time to get in, because once this next bull run, as they say, hits, whenever it hits, and these things start going, you know, up Bitcoin above 15,000 where it was before, and it almost touched 20, I believe it'll get back there within this year and beyond. It may never come back to these levels that we're seeing here today. So something to take note of, and then make your own personal choice. But if you're actually on the entrepreneurial side and the venture side and looking at even in the job market as a technologist, if you're a programmer or a network engineer, I could tell you this, in one of the companies that presented at D10E that did really well, called Academy, highlighted this point, that there's so much demand in this space right now for all types of services, and especially good programmers, good technologists that understand blockchain or that are willing to learn Solidity and the other underlying technology components, cryptography. These are some very cutting edge, high end technologies that aren't necessarily so easy to learn, but there's a huge demand for. I believe one of the stats that the founder of Academy raised was that there's one blockchain developer for every 16 available blockchain jobs right now. So if you're in the field, or even if you're a young person coming up in high school or college, it's something to take note of. This is a field that is here to stay, and it's growing faster than the supply of quality people and engineers in the space are available. So it's probably a pretty good ticket and payday, six-figure payday you're looking at if you're willing to learn and be somewhat of an early adopter in the space. So take note of that. And as an entrepreneur looking to raise capital through crowdfunding, if you can tell a story and come up with a business model that is utilizes, you know, blockchain components, which almost every business can find creative ways to do, it would be worth a look. It would certainly be worth a look. And from a marketing point of view, as noted, we're doing this series on the seven pillars of ICO marketing, which I'll be sharing through updates like this, through the podcast and kind of one-offs through our Medium channel and Telegram and whatnot, and just really sharing our first major experience going through this. The next 90 days between now and, let's say, February, March, April, May. So between right now, February 2nd and May 2nd to May 15th, next 90 to 100 days, we're going to be going through, basically, I'll be living on airplanes and in hotels half the time, traveling to these conferences, doing road shows, being active in social media as we're actually developing technology and finalizing our ICO and our pre-sales. So hopefully we'll have some really good things to report. I'm sure we're going to have a lot of learnings either way, some successes, some challenges and setbacks. And like anything in life, you know, it's about being agile. It's about being open-minded, approaching it with an open heart. And I think, again, back to the ethos of this whole movement, this whole community, and some of the speakers, great speakers and leaders in the space, like Brock Pierce, was up there on stage talking about just kind of an open-hearted model and the mentality of the space, and how money wasn't the main driver, but it was about doing good for the planet by bringing kind of this decentralization and power to the people. And it's something that, is really inspiring to be part of and to witness and to see that type of power and that type of system actually ascending, actually rising, and giving people opportunities to participate in it. So I'm really excited to be part of the space myself. I believe that it's here to stay, and I'm going to continue sharing our experiences as we go through the next 100 days here. As far as a particular project or challenge for today, I would just really double down on what the last two that we've put out related to this space. If you're not in the market yet in some fashion as a personal investor, that's your challenge number one. If you're in the US here, get to Coinbase. If you're in another country, find out what the most relevant channels are for you. I don't have the per country answer for that. Even if it's $50 or $100, get started. Connect your bank account, your credit card, and buy some Ethereum or Bitcoin, and then open an account on Binance or Bittrex so you can actually have access to some of the other coins and exchanges. So that's one. And then two, find a real-world use case where you're going to apply your coins, any of your coins, to either buy something or exchange with friends. So outside of just pure buying and trading of the coins themselves, using those coins to buy something else of value, whatever that may be. So there are a few websites like Overstock.com, even Expedia, where you can pay for travel using Bitcoin. Did you know that? And that's just, these are some popular websites. I don't know how much utilization that's getting yet, but surely it will increase again within this kind of year of adoption 2018. So going to just bring back those two challenges instead of presenting something new. Wish everyone luck. Please talk to us on our social channels. Sign up for our challenges on the polymyth.tv so we can kind of continue building our community around all these different concepts and challenges and helping each other grow and learn and prosper. So until next week, good luck. Be conscious, be present, and good luck with everything. See you next week.